Hello, I'm Bill Faulkner, and welcome to MR Safety Week 2020, the SMRT podcast. This electronic platform that we're using for these podcasts is provided courtesy of Northwest Imaging Forums, and we want to thank them again for their support. And with me on this podcast is Vera Kimbrell and Maureen, better known as Mo Hood. Welcome, ladies. How are you doing?
We're great, Bill.
Thank you.
Oh, good. And in this podcast, we're going to be addressing considerations related to scanning patients with cardiac pacemakers and steps in setting up for your facility for safe scanning of these devices. And what we're going to talk about is, of course, cardiac pacemakers, again, whether it be labeled pacemakers or unlabeled pacemakers. So, Vera, to start us off, please share why you think this topic is so popular and what are the main differences between those that have been tested and labeled for use in MR and those that have not been tested or labeled because they are legacy devices or they have component parts that are not labeled. In other words, they don't match different lead, different pacer, you know, that sort of thing.
Thanks, Bill. Those are excellent questions. Historically, patients with any cardiac device weren't scanned in MRI. So over the last several decades, these patients have just not been able to be imaged. But over the last 5 or 10 years, manufacturers of cardiac devices have started to provide adequate precautions and hardware in order to allow us to image these as MRI conditional devices. So right now, there are two major categories of cardiac pacemakers. The first is the MRI conditional devices, and then the second category are those devices that are not conditional and have no labeling. So the conditional devices come with a list of MRI conditions that we as MRI professionals have to meet in order for the patients to be safe in our systems. The second category has no such conditions. So we're scanning these under a significant risk benefit, and we do these under a case-by-case basis along with other departments like the EP lab and nursing and our radiologist.
So basically, like these devices, I mean, you know, one way to look at it is the type that have been tested and labeled, they have guidance that say these have been tested under these conditions, but for the other devices, we basically have no information, correct?
That's correct.
Right. So Mo, what do you see as the first steps to be taken when you're, you know, starting an endeavor to, you know, look at scanning these patients, both the conditional devices and then, if necessary, those that do not have any testing or labeling?
Thank you, Bill. Excellent question. And for anybody who is looking into scanning cardiac devices in MRI, it's really, really important that you take a look at your institution or facility to see if you actually have everything you need to fully support these devices safely in your MRI clinic. For devices that are labeled as MR conditional, it's a lot more straightforward. Your facility actually needs to meet the conditions listed on the manufacturer's label, and you can look those up very easily and follow them. Along those lists of recommendations, and they do vary from manufacturer to manufacturer, you have to make sure you have proper MR monitoring equipment in your facility. You have advanced cardiac life support or ACLS trained healthcare professionals that are able to monitor and support you with the cardiac expertise and the pacer expertise needed for the programming and monitoring of these patients. And also you want to look at making sure that you have the qualified personnel, extra personnel necessary, keeping in mind that the personnel for these is going to vary from country to country and state to state if you're in the United States. Just be mindful that you should be looking at an additional person to be doing the monitoring that is not doing the scanning, because you want your person doing the scanning to really pay attention to what they're doing to get the highest quality images needed for that person and the other person monitoring the patient properly. Now, these devices that are not labeled MR conditional have extra levels of safety that you have to keep in mind. And the number one thing to keep in mind with the devices that are not labeled for MR safety, as they may have some unknown safety issues, or they don't have the straightforward spelled out conditions from the manufacturers that you need to have to meet that level of keeping the patient safe. So among some of the extra things you need to consider for these non-MR labeled devices is that you have to have some sort of an agreement with the EP staff to make sure that the electrophysiology department is able to support these should something go wrong. You need to have a higher level of qualified physicians, nurse practitioner, physician assistants, or whatever equivalent you have in your country, as again, these professionals do vary in what they're called around the world. But it's really important that these patients have the kind of monitoring and supervision available so that if something were to go wrong, although it is very, very rare, that you're able to take care of these patients in a very timely manner, which means that those people are available within seconds, not 10 or 20 minutes. Because if something goes wrong with a cardiac patient, it can be severe, and you want to be able to respond to that. If you are not able to have the facilities and support for either of these levels, then I would suggest that you refer your patients to another institution that does have this available, because there are quite a few around the country. But once you have established that you have these support resources available, the next thing you need to do is have written policies on how you're going to manage and guide the scanning of these devices. And you should have written formal agreements with cardiology, the electrophysiology service, for the devices that are not already MR conditional. So in your written plan, I would suggest that you actually have some sort of standard operating procedure in place that is agreed upon by all parties that need to be involved in this. And for the MR conditional devices, that's usually within your own radiology facility. But you sometimes may need help with from a manufacturer's pacing, vendor support, if you can't have the support in-house from cardiology. So depending on what resources you have available, you're going to need to have this written and a plan agreed upon by all the parties. Now, patients that do not have the MR conditional labeled devices, you're going to have those formal agreements in place and make sure that there's a written plan. And there's usually a really nice checklist to make sure that each person who has a role to play has that role fulfilled before they go on to the next part of that. One major part of this plan is making sure that a risk-benefit analysis is being completed on these patients. And that can be done in radiology, cardiology, or both places. The patient also needs to have some sort of informed consent or the equivalent to that, so that there's some sort of documented interaction between the physicians and the patients so that they know how to go forward with this, what the risks are, what the benefits are. And then along with that, the team has to work together to get the plan in place to make sure that the MR tech or radiographer who's doing the exam has the right components set up to scan these properly. And it's all spelled out by either, if it's an MR conditional device, by the conditions of the manufacturer, or if it's the other type that is not labeled for MR safe, that you are conditional, that you are able to meet the requirements put forward by the guiding radiologist that is planned, agreed on between radiology and the electrophysiologist. Electrophysiologists generally do the programming and related safety checks of the patient's electrophysiology, and then radiology is in charge of doing the scanning portion of this. But it's really essential that these groups work together, and if you have nursing support available, that nurses are involved in that as well. Each part of the team on this needs to have some sort of MR safety training that relates to MRI devices in MR. For the MR conditional devices, these are oftentimes provided by the companies that manufacture devices. And for the other devices, you have to make sure that the parties are aware of the potential risks of MRI and the safety resources that are going in to protect the patient and take care of them while they're in the scanner.
So basically, the radiologist is in charge of the MR safety of the patient, or the safety of the patient relative to the MRI study, the gradient switching, the RF, and yada yada yada, that stuff. And the electrophysiologist is in charge of the cardiac safety, which has to do with device programming and device specs. You know, making sure it's all in specs, right? I mean, that's kind of the way. That's a big overview of the way it kind of breaks out. Correct.
Correct. And that's why that written agreement is so important, so that each party knows exactly what they're responsible for, because radiology generally has the MR expertise and cardiology has the electrophysiology expertise.
So when you consent them, do you get a dual consent? I mean, and I talked to one doctor that, you know, at one facility, say radiology consents them, another one maybe cardiology consents them. And it's one doctor that I've spoke to, radiologists that Vera and I have done some podcasts with, Dr. Howard Raleigh, says at their facility, they actually do dual consents where both the radiologist consent them as well as cardiology. I mean, what have you seen?
Right. I've also seen a mix, and that's where the institutional policies or the comfort level of the different departments come into play. And I've seen some places do a single consent. At one of the places I work, it is a single consent, but other places, they're also going to dual consent. And I think either is fine as long as the patient is informed of the, you know, potential risk benefit of what's going on.
Okay. So would you say that, you know, you've got that checklist or whatever, and this is more for the non-label devices. I would think a discharge plan would be, you know, fairly critical.
Oh, absolutely.
For that.
Yes, absolutely. So checklists actually occur with both types of the devices. Before the non-MR conditional devices or the ones that are not labeled, I think it's absolutely critical that besides that checklist, that there is a documented discharge plan that includes follow-up if needed for the patient.
Vera, what advice can you provide, note I made here, that regards the necessary monitoring equipment? Because in both situations, the, you know, conditional devices, they generally have conditions of use of some sort of patient monitoring, which makes sense. Some more critical than others, given, like, for example, ICDs, where therapy is discontinued when you're scanning. And this, again, is for conditional devices. But then also when you get to the non-conditional devices, it would seem to me you'd have like to have a little higher tier of monitoring and observing a patient, because although if you look at the literature, it seems risk is kind of low, it's maybe a little higher than it is with the label devices. But with the non-label devices, shall we say there's a little more of an opportunity for a surprise. And, you know, that's where monitoring and staffing to perform that monitoring can come into play, would you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think monitoring of the patient during the MRI is probably one of the more critical components. Many of these patients, especially with the unlabeled and untested devices, may actually have their cardiac pacemakers turned off. So we're in the scanner and the pacemaker is off. And, you know, they had this pacemaker for a reason, and they certainly...
they may need it.
They may need it. And if they need it, then we need to know that they need it. And we need to, you know, to provide some kind of assistance for that patient. So monitoring the patient is critical. Most centers have some kind of MRI conditional monitoring device that does EKG, pulse oximeter, at the very least. My recommendation is that you have a nurse to do that. This is not the kind of thing that you want to leave to your second MR technologist or, you know, or someone that's, you know, that's there to watch the EKG monitor go up and down. You really need someone who is familiar with the patient, knows their normal status and, you know, is able to see whether or not they're in trouble, and we can get them help ASAP. So getting a someone from nursing or a physician to do the monitoring, in my opinion, is really a critical piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, you know, a pulse ox is, you know, I can teach my 8-year-old granddaughter, you know, how to monitor a pulse ox. You know, Zoe, if that number goes below 95, tell me. You know, but, you know, for the other stuff, and again, many of these monitoring devices are filtered, so the EKG is not exactly accurate, you know, diagnostically speaking. But so people need to, you need people there, I think, that know what they're looking for. Let me ask one more thing before we kind of wrap this up here. And I'll pose it back to Mo. I've heard of some resources that the ACR has referred to in the past, actually over the last 5 years or so. They've kind of shunted information toward one particular resource that's been around for a while. What resources are available, and, you know, are there more in the works that you're aware of?
Right. There are a wide variety of papers available out there, but some are better than others. The main paper that ACR is referring to right now is the Heart Rhythm Society paper from a few years ago. It's actually a very comprehensive paper. But one of my...
Yeah, it's about 50-something pages or
yes,
something.
Yes, it's 57 pages.
Okay.
It is a long technical document, which is why I'm not exactly enamored with it. But there are other papers out there, and there's some other good papers that'll be coming out soon. I think a lot of people have interest in how to move forward with scanning these people with any type of cardiac device, and I think it's important that we provide them some way to get that MRI safely.
That's right. I mean, if the patient needs the exam, I mean, it can be critical. Again, with the off-labeled devices, I mean, they're certainly more complex and require heightened sensitivity to risk. And so I think that's certainly not for everyone. With the devices that are labeled and tested, like you all have said, that's really pretty straightforward. So, you know, it's a good idea to be advised of what's going on, I think, out in the MR community. Keep your eye on the literature. The SMRT is certainly the premier place to be for seeing information come through the great online resources that we have of late, not through our own desire, but nonetheless, it's given us an opportunity to communicate more virtually. And I think that's probably going to continue in a lot of respects because it's good resource for information. So, ladies, I want to thank you for your expertise and your time and sharing that with everyone today. It's been a great pleasure. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen. For Vera and Mo, thank you very much. I hope you guys have a great evening.
Thank you, Bill. And everyone, have a great day.
Thanks. We're out of here. See you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.